today's topic is how to listen to your internal voice to find your true calling with Dr. Rosie Kuhn.
Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Just, you're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of the Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Are you feeling burned out or finding it hard to focus on your goals? Or are you in transition? Well, you're not alone. We all need to activate our superpowers. These are the internal strengths and abilities we all already have but don't use all the time. Superpowers can be cultivated, and they include empathy, love, intuition, courage, and more. Toward the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to live a well woman life. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is how to listen to your internal voice to find your true calling, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to go inward rather than externally to find the right questions to ask and direction to lead you to happiness. My guest today is Dr. Rosie Kuhn. She's a speaker, author, and facilitator, and a leader in the field of transformation and transformational coaching. As the founder of the Paradigm Shifts Coaching Group, Dr. Rosie specializes in empowering individuals to fearlessly embrace transformation. Her books, blogs, videos, and podcasts engage and inspire her audience to question the source of their decision-making. She's the author of many books, including Self-Empowerment 101 and newly published Cultivating Spirituality in Children. Dr. Rosie has worked in the field of transformation for over 20 years. In this episode, Dr. Rosie and I talk about how you can tell when it's time to make a shift in your life, how to move away from fear-based decision-making and lead with fierce love, and why it's so important to embrace rather than resist transformation. The free giveaway today is Dr. Rosie's free ABCs of Spirituality in Business. And it's a book that you can download as a PDF at wellwomanlife.com/074show. I love this giveaway because it collates simple yet powerful ideas and frames the essence of what it means to bring spirituality to the workplace. Before we begin, I want to let you know that I'll be in the UK this summer with free events in London, July 17th, and Oxford, July 19th. So if you're in the area, definitely check out wellwomanlife.com/events. And in August, I'm so excited, I'll be in LA at Podcast Movement presenting on the virtual ticket on how to rock your remote events as a podcaster. If you're a podcaster or you're interested in podcasting, definitely check it out, wellwomanlife.com/podcastmovement for more info. And this year's Well Woman Superpower Retreat, where we work on activating our superpowers to live a truly well woman life, is October 26th to 27th in New Mexico. I'm so excited about this. We just confirmed our location, and it's going to be at Sunrise Springs Resort in Santa Fe. It's absolutely beautiful, 5-star resort. Definitely, when we talk about self-care and taking time for yourself and just putting you on the calendar, this is that event. You definitely don't want to miss it. And we have some fabulous speakers and activities planned for you. So check out wellwomanlife.com/retreat for more information on that. You can also join the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at wellwomanlife.com/Facebook. Now to my interview with Dr. Rosie. Now, before I bring on my guest, as always, this episode is brought to you by Well Woman Life, a global community of women living our best lives. Whether it's your health, relationships, your money, or making an impact in your community and the world, Well Woman Life has you covered. You've made a commitment to not settle, to use your voice, and to live your best life. Well Woman Life offers annual memberships, workshops, and retreats to support you. Check out wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join our growing community. Now back to the show. I'm speaking with Dr. Rosie Kuhn today. Welcome to the program, Rosie.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited to talk to you. I love it when I'm introduced to people through networks that I didn't even know I had. And you found me and I found you and here we are. And I'm really excited to talk to you. You know, as the listeners heard in the introduction, you have published a ton of books. You have a lot of experience in coaching and specifically in with entrepreneurs too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, my show is really focused on women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs. So it's a really nice fit. So I want to first start off by asking you, Dr. Rosie, what are you working on and how does it impact women's lives and well-being?
What I'm working on, Giovanna, is looking right now more than anything on the process of aging and how it influences us as leaders, you know, leaders for our children, leaders for our grandchildren, leaders in the world, in our communities. I do a piece, an article for our local newspaper called Aging, Who Me? And in that we describe and talk about all the aspects of leadership, all leadership in a sense, aging. As we age, we can become leaders of this process as opposed to ignoring it and denying it and pretending it doesn't exist.
Hmm. And so is that for women who may not identify themselves as leaders?
You know, in particular, I'll give you an example of what I'm doing. I'm working with a woman I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, and this client is in the San Francisco Bay Area. And she was highly successful as an event planner for corporations. And she moved into the coaching world and was a coach for 8 years. And she's part of an organization, and she's just about to become their new president. And she's 62, and she has a lot of different things going on that says, who am I to be this person in leadership? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing this. And I think a lot of women who are stepping into leadership roles are just, in a sense, anytime we take on a new endeavor, we're becoming a cutting edge individual. Even though we don't see it that way, we truly are. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean,
so with this particular client, she keeps going to, well, how pragmatic is this? She basically quit her job and, you know, gave up her office, and it's like, why am I doing this? You know, but because her heart is telling her to do this, her heart is telling her it's not working the way that I'm doing work in the world. It's not working for my being. I feel discontent and unfulfilled, and yet at the same time I want to be of service to people. And she took this job as the leader of this position, I should say, this as a leader of this organization, because they needed it. You know, somebody had to do it, and here she is. But when we take it to this, in a sense, the spiritual level or the larger picture kind of thing, we see a lot of opportunity for her personal and spiritual development and how that influences the women that she's serving. Mm. And she's kind of fascinated by it. And at one point we were having this discussion, like, well, what am I doing here? And I really am all about having a vision statement that inspires people and women every day. And after a long conversation, it's like, what's the heart and soul of this for you? And she said, fierce love. And I go, that's your vision statement as the president of this organization. And she's going, yeah, but how do you lead from that? And that's a big question that I think each of us has to look at is, what's that place, that word, those words, those feelings, those experiences that cultivate the fulfillment of the human spirit? That's what I'm all about. That's my vision statement, is the fulfillment of the human spirit. When I say that, it's like, it's a yes, you know, yes, I'm going to contact Giovanna, even though I have no idea if she'll ever speak to me. It's like, yes, I'm going to. And that's the way that I think we're cultivating leadership. And especially in women who say, oh, I'm too old, or I'm getting too old, or aging in terms of I'm not old enough yet.
Interesting. And so in your example of your client there, you know, I think women, we do this a lot. When we take on something, we then start questioning it. Like, well, am I really qualified to do this? Should I be doing this? Well, you know, how am I going to do this? And we see that in business. We see that in politics. You know, women have to be really asked to run for office. They don't just assume that they're qualified to run for office. And men generally do assume that. And so what I've learned from speaking to so many women leaders is that this, whatever we want to call it, whether it's like a temporary insecurity or some questioning or however we frame that, it never goes away. We go through cycles with it maybe, and we move through it. But even the most successful, you know, people who have published all these books and are very, you know, outwardly successful, they still question these things when they step into a new leadership role. Is that what you find?
I find it. And I find that most people are not asking the right questions. And that's why the dilemma never goes away. The uncertainty never goes away, because the source of the insecurity, the source of the uncertainty is never revealed and expressed.
So what are the right questions?
The right question is, in a sense, what is it that's having me do this? In a sense that there's in what you guys are talking about, the superpower that fuels women, it's like, it's this place of what is, and men, but in this particular case, what is it? Why am I doing this? What's the impetus? What's the impulse here to serve? And it's not like, oh, it's about the money, or it's about the prestige, or it's about the position, people will like me, it'll show that I've got validity. All of those things are yes, and what will you gain from that? And what will you gain from that? And what we get to is the source of our impulse to serve, in a sense, it can be love or kindness or compassion or creating a better orientation in the world or really bringing people into their fulfillment. But if we don't get to this is the big one from the inside, that then we don't actually address the superpower that we have that fuels us. At the same time, it's what creates the uncertainty. A lot of women have been killed and banished, or they go, if I'm a leader, people won't I won't find partnership with a man because he'll be afraid of my power. So asking the right question, what's that about, the uncertainty? It can begin to reveal, unravel all the patterns and the strategies and the dynamics that have us ignore or avoid underlying woundings that we've never addressed, or underlying fears. And our fears come from some experience somewhere in this lifetime or other lifetimes, or our cultural orientation as women, that those fears are in us, even though we may not have had the direct experience of it, because we carry it, you know, the collective unconscious. And the collective unconscious is not just of this lifetime and this moment, but, you know, eternal. So we carry a lot. I was speaking with a woman today who's the dilemma is she has a great family life, great husband, and she's had this ongoing desire to move back to Israel. and she, it's been an ongoing focus for her. Let's make the decision to go. It's, and what she's finding and what we unravel is she's being with a lot of past life. Her family was in the Holocaust, and what are the roots of her life, and what are the roots of, for her children, and bigger questions than just do we move there or not. And when we begin to, and I think this is the role of most coaches in a transformation, I consider myself a transformational coach, because I really want people to get that the energetics and the spiritual aspects of who they are really influence who they are and how they use their superpower and their, how they step into their fullness as a woman and as a human being.
Mm.
I'm saying a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot, but that's good. So I want to dig into a little bit of what you were just talking about and ask you, when we have these dilemmas, mm-hmm. are they necessarily, is it necessarily a spiritual dilemma? And what do you tell people who are skeptical of, you know, sort of, if someone sort of says, well, that sounds too much like, you know, The Secret, that movie that, yes. came, you know, the book and stuff.
Yes.
So how do you explain what you're talking about to to like the pragmatic type of person?
So this is a really great question, because for me, getting to this point in my, I'm just going to turn 65 in 10 days, which is amazing.
Ooh, happy birthday.
thank you. And it's taken me this long to get that there's incredible pragmatics in looking at who we are as in our humanness. And for me, spirituality is the cultivation of faith and trust. In a sense, there's uncertainty, like you're saying, almost every woman that you speak to, there's this sense of self-doubt and uncertainty. And yet at the same time, there's the, and I will do it anyway. I'll take that leap of faith. So for me, spirituality is just cultivating that ability to take leaps of faith. Okay. Not anything more than that. The piece that's really important too, is that we have our humanness. This is really important. I have a model that I've created called Domains of Awareness. And we have our spiritual domain, and as spiritual beings, I think we're spiritual beings having a human experience. The human experience are states of being that we desire and states of being that we don't desire, that are undesirable, okay? So states of being are beauty, creativity, happiness, love, connection, prosperity. Those are states of being that we love, right? Relaxation, peace. The states of being that we're trying to avoid is poverty, lack, hate, rejection, abandonment, right? Betrayal. So as we're attempting to feel the good things, we're at the same time attempting to avoid the bad things. I'm just being very, you know, mm-hmm. good feelings, the bad feelings. And so our whole life is spent, how do I get what I want, which gives me the good feelings, and at the same time avoid what I don't want, which is the bad feelings. Most of us don't want to experience failure or mistakes or rejection, or, you know, we don't want that. And so we say, okay, I'll do this, but the dilemma is, what can you commit to fully enough that you're willing to take that leap of faith, that there may be failure? You might have to experience some messiness. You might have to experience triggers that bring up old memories or patterns that keep you stuck in the, yeah, but I don't want to feel those things.
Well, that's allowing, that's allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
And that's really uncomfortable, and most people want to avoid that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So from my perspective, a great coach and somebody that you want as your thinking partner is going to be able to hear that and not support you in avoiding that vulnerability, but really support you in how do you move forward even though you feel vulnerable, even though it's messy. So where's the spirituality in that, you know, really? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that just there's a lot of pushback against, you know, oh, this is too spiritual, or this is too out there, or this is too woo-woo, or whatever. And for very many practical, you know, strong type A women, I think they sort of need something more grounded and concrete to wrap their heads around. So that's
okay. So here's and I totally get that. And it's taken me, like I said, a long time to be able to get to this point of making sense of the pragmatics of what I'm saying. Mm. As a thinking partner for clients, I'll say, is what you're doing working for you? And that's a yes or no. Or here's how it's working for me, here's how it's not working for me. Okay. Here's how it's working and here's how it's not. So, okay, here's, and for quite often people will say, so for the client in the Bay Area, she's going, this isn't working for me. And she's looking at all the pragmatics type A stuff. This isn't working for me. And it's okay. Then it's not working for you. The paradigm you're attempting to be successful in isn't working mm-hmm. for you. So we have to look at what's the dynamics? How are you constructing your thinking that has it not work for you? Okay. And so there's some deconstruction process that she's going through. She's this brilliant, clear, and again, about to be the president of this national organization, this chapter in San Francisco. She's wired in, hooked in. And at the same time, she's having to say, this, the way I've been doing it, the way I think about it, the way the world is presenting itself, doesn't work. That's pragmatic. That's intelligent, right?
Mm.
And quite often, type A's will go, it's not working for me, but, you know, Harvard University says this, or, you know, Yale says that, or da da da, and the business experts say, it's like, I get what they say, and what is true here for you? It's not working. Okay. Now what? So there's the pragmatics of being willing to look at the truth of has nothing to do with spirituality, does it? The spirituality element is, am I willing to face my fears? Am I willing to face myself? Am I willing to trust that I can trust myself in looking at how to be with this truthfully? There's no stuff in there. There's no spiritual wooey stuff. I'm not waving crystals at people. I'm just saying, does it work? No.
Yeah. And so
period.
Where do you take people with their fear and vulnerability then? How do you, you know, sort of coach folks through that or have them face those things?
Well, it's looking at what we're trying to do is avoid that stuff, right? What most of us are trying to do is give me the good stuff and give me the way of doing this so I can avoid the stuff I don't want to deal with. And to be truly a leader in the world means you have to face the stuff that's messy because you're going to lead people through messiness, right? People in terms of if you're an organization, there's a lot going on there and you can keep leading them with avoidance of the bad stuff, or you can go, okay, this is messy. And so I got to deal with my own messiness. I got to learn how to be in the messiness so that I can lead others and hopefully allow them and support them to be with their messiness. In discussing with this woman who's going to be the president of this organization, and she's like, how do I lead from fierce love? It's like, well, here's the truth. 80% of businesses will fail in the first 18 months. So that means that if you keep leading the way that most people will lead, you're leading all of those people into failure because you're not doing anything different. You're not showing or expressing a way that's different that will lead them into actual fulfillment. So being willing to say, okay, I get you're a type A. I get you don't want to get messy. I get that you want to get the job done here. And is that working for you? No. Okay. We got to slow down. We got to do something else. And again, this client is took a month off. She went to hide out and be in retreat with herself and get clearer about her focus and her intention and her truth. Oh, here's cool. What's important. And to be with herself in the messiness and to be in the with herself in the vulnerability. There's a place where we embrace ourselves in that, and it's required. I'm telling you, it is required. If you really want to be a leader, you have to be with yourself and say, what's the consternations, what's the challenges, and what's the heart-soaring superpower fuel that's going to bring you into that leadership? Great leaders are not, it's not about the money and it's not about the power. It's about something that's at the heart level.
Yeah. So I think that great leaders, the extent to which someone can achieve great leadership is directly correlated with how self-aware they are and how much work they've done on themselves. So what do you say about that? When we see some people rising to leadership who clearly are not very self-aware and need a lot of help in that area.
Yeah. Well, you know, in terms of, we'll say the election in the United States, it's like we, the people,
right.
Elected this individual. And there's a lot of us who didn't vote for him, but he does represent parts of ourselves that we want to avoid and ignore and deny. I wrote an article or a blog, and it's boy, do we love to hate. And we can hate, and when we hate, we're being like him. Okay, he's a reflection of hate and power use and abuse and manipulation. He's a reflection of all of that. So each of us can go, oh, okay, I see how I want to hate him. I see how I want to, do stuff so that I don't have to be with that. And in that, then we can see ourselves and we can see, oh, this is how I'm leading. This is how I'm being in my life. And quite often people around me want to talk about it and him. Mm-hmm. And it's like that doesn't serve me to do that. And am I avoiding it or ignoring it? It's like, no, I'm choosing to look at who am I in this process that this man, this being is a reflection of me. And so I get to choose, how do I lead based on that? And leading for me is a facilitation of personal awareness of the people that I lead. So that there's a quote that says, there go my people, so I must follow because I am their leader. And most of us don't lead that way, but it's a really, really good way of looking at it. And again, with my client, I'll just call her Carol, who's going to be leading thousands and thousands of women in this organization. It's like, how do you do that? And cultivate consciousness, cultivate awareness in the people that I'm leading. The person we have in office now isn't going to do that. The person we had in office for the last 8 years was cultivating that awareness and that consciousness. It's a brilliant contrast. It's like, interesting.
Yeah. So I was just at Sister Giant, which is the big conference that Marianne Williamson put on in Washington, D.C. And she actually, that's where I interviewed Jean Houston. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
But, she's really committed to seeing how the spiritual community and the political community can come together and where that intersection is. And I sort of see two things going on in the spiritual community. There are those who are just doubling down and going inward right now and disengaging because it's so painful and difficult, the political situation. And then I see others who are stepping into activism and, you know, really out of their comfort zone.
Yes.
And doing more in that area. And so for those folks, I think they're really struggling with how do they maintain their own personal health, you know, mind, yes. mind, body, and spirit health, and be effective in the community.
It's a great question. Carol Gilligan had a in her book, and I can't remember the name of the book in this moment, but she says the personal is the political. Okay. The personal is the political. Mm-hmm. So my activism takes place when I'm sitting on my couch with my coffee, with my spiritual readings and my writing, in a sense that that's where I'm doing my political work. I'm working out where I'm not in peace, where I am in war, where I am battling, where I am not caring for the internal aspects of my being, where I'm looking outside myself for prosperity or productivity. So in a sense, if we look at the president and say, wow, that's, I don't want that. I don't want to be that guy. It's like, okay, make a list of how you, what's your work in with yourself to bring yourself into being peace, being compassionate, being generous, being, and not only in the world, but when you're being that with yourself, it automatically and spontaneously shifts from internal to external, which is the, where the miracles happen in a sense. Like, wow, I've been doing my work and all of a sudden, here's what's showing up.
Yeah, I think that's so, the real key is that when the internal becomes external, that is the magic, right?
That's right.
So,
and it's really hard for people to go, I'm not being active if I'm sitting on the, on my pillow, mm-hmm. If I'm meditating. It's like, you know, the spiritual work that I read in one book that I just, it's one of my Bibles, is called Oneness, and it's by a woman named Rasha. Rasha channeled this work. And it's all about if I do my work, if I really go into myself, which means, obviously, Giovanna, that I'm being with the messiness of who I am and my vulnerabilities and my hopeless helplessness, all of my humanness. It's really hard to believe that that's going to change the world. But that is what changes the world, because we are. And for me, my perspective is when I really live in that universal truth, then things change. People around me change. People are, when they come into contact with me, they calm down, they become relaxed, they smile. It's like, who am I? I'm just me. You know, I'm just this person from Detroit who lived in this dysfunctional family. I'm just me. But when I'm doing my work, people talk to me on the phone or whatever. I'm doing some work at the local performing arts center. And when I'm there, people go, wow, this is lovely. And it's like, wow, something's happening here. And I know, just, I mean, my own evidence, personal evidence, but when I see it in my clients or I read about it, it's awesome. Mm. But it does take shifting the faith. This is what really, really important. We put our faith in the way that it is being. You know, type A personalities put their faith into being type A's. And it's not a matter that there is no faith. It's that we put our faith, we choose to put our faith where we choose to put it. And so sometimes if it isn't working, we just have to choose to put our faith in something else. Very crazy making, but we put our faith in the political systems or the educational systems or the spiritual systems. And if they're not working for us, then we have to shift our focus of faith. People don't like that, but it's true.
I love it.
I didn't like it. I don't like anything I'm saying. I used to not like anything I'm saying. But Course in Miracles, and Marianne Williamson was all about the Course in Miracles, and these others, it's like I had to choose to put my faith in something different because what I was doing and how I was doing it wasn't working. And that's the bottom line, is for people to say, is what I'm doing working?
Right.
No. Okay, great. Or if it is working, excellent. What is that? what's making it work? How, what aspects of this is working? What aspects is bringing fulfillment? And what, how do I then look at these parts that aren't fulfilling, and how do I shift those? But it's really just totally, as much as possible, a personal job. And if that means being a conduit, actively in the world, it's, everyone has their own way of being that and doing that.
Mm-hmm. This is a good segue into our segment called Superpowers for Success. So let's move into that. Now it's time for our segment called Superpowers for Success. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Being a well woman includes being financially healthy. Our sponsors, Lorraine L. and Kate Stalter of Better Money Decisions, are on a mission to eliminate complexity and confusion from your financial life. They replace Wall Street jargon with straightforward talk you can understand, and they create investment and retirement plans customized for your needs and your future. Download a free copy of their latest book, Don't Let Your Money Kick the Bucket Before You Do, and learn how to avoid the biggest mistakes women make when planning for retirement. Go to bettermoneydecisions.com/wellwoman and download your free book today. I save this segment for to get into some of these deeper issues for some of my guests, you know, that we don't go there in the regular conversation. So anyway, it might just be a little review, but Dr. Rosie, what does success in life mean for you?
Success means that I am at choice about what I choose. Success is the ability. I wrote a book called Self-Empowerment 101, Giovanna. And every time I look at that book, it kind of shocks me, because I think a lot of my work is, in a sense, channeled. But the self-empowerment to me is the most key ingredient to bringing all the other ingredients together in any recipe for success or fulfillment. One's ability and willingness to self-empower themselves, to focus on, here's where I'm dedicating my heart, here's where, what's important to me, here's what I'm willing to do to make this happen. Those are all aspects of self-empowerment. So I've cultivated over decades the ability to self-empower to this degree of fulfillment and success. The other part of what makes supports me in being successful is looking at my life path isn't anywhere near what I was looking to do. I wrote a book called The Unholy Path of a Reluctant Adventurer. All my books are available on Amazon. The Unholy Path, the most important thing for me to grow when I was growing up is I just wanted to get married and have my children and then live happily in that. And because of divorce and this and that, I gave up custody of my children. That is total not success as a parent. But in my orientation in terms of what's the best in the best interest of my children, I chose to give custody up to their dad because that was what was in the best interest of my children, that they stay in their home and have the system security and stability while I figure out what's for me, which meant going to graduate school and learning to be a therapist and a coach. But how we think life looks is supposed to look, how success we think is supposed to look, shifts as we get older, hopefully, because we get more wise and mature. And so the way that we think life is supposed to look doesn't always look that way. And so success means following my heart in a way that it feels big and full. And being with those thoughts that says, no, it's not. It's not that. You should be doing this. This is what it's supposed to look like. And when it doesn't, we go, wait. Who do I listen to? Mm. I live on a beautiful 10-acre piece of property, and I live in a little travel trailer, 24 square feet, less than 200 square feet. And not 24 square feet, 24 foot, but it's less than 200 square feet. And at first it was like I was, you know, upset and dissing myself all the time for living in such a little tiny space, but it's actually beautiful. It allows me some flexibility and fluidity and simplicity. And rather than seeing that as a failure, it becomes a success because of being able to reframe our life, my life, And all of that has diminished that lack of respect and lack of self-honor, which is so important in that place of dignity.
Yeah.
For me, those words of self-respect, self-honor, dignity, self-appreciation, those are the markers for success.
Okay.
For human.
Okay, and I want to ask you, in the next few questions, we're going to move through a little bit quicker. It's okay. When did you know that you were really good at what you do?
First time I knew I was good at it was when I was in high school, and I was sitting on the phone with a friend and listening to her. And that was the first moment I knew I was good at it, at listening and really hearing people and really that. And then it went from, and then I didn't even start training to be a therapist, or at first I was trained to be a therapist and then went into coaching after that.
But let me ask you, when you were on the phone with your friend in high school, why did you think you were good at it?
They felt heard. They felt listened to. They felt I tracked them, like I was really attending to them. And it was a quality of an experience that both of us had in that moment that I didn't even know was happening, since I was just being me. And in being me, I brought to her a sense of connection, and that somebody was really hearing her.
Oh, isn't that the best when
that's the best.
You can just...
Yeah.
Be you, and it's the best
yes.
thing that you can offer is just being you. But I think that a lot of people have a hard time drilling down and just being themselves a lot of times. But let me ask you, can you describe one personal habit that contributes to your well-being?
I would say it's when I get up in the morning, I make my coffee and I sit down in my little corner of the couch. And I do a clearing with myself, and then I do a spiritual reading, either from The Course in Miracles, from Oneness, or David Hawkins is another person I love reading, who's very pragmatic. That's a spiritual person, and he's not on the planet anymore. And I sit and I'll intuit something to read, whether I douse it, which this sounds kind of woo-woo, or just open up the book and say, here's what I'm reading for today. That is what really contributes to a focus for the day, an intention bigger than I'm going to make $50,000 this year, or bigger than how many clients do I need to get, or, you know, what do I need to market? All of those kind of getting questions kind of go away, and I can just be in the here's who I am, and here's who I am as this spiritual human being, and here's what's going to contribute to the unfolding of her, me, today.
Okay.
And when I don't do that, I get flaky and discombobulated, and I don't have such a great day.
Yeah, it's what grounds you
That's right.
for the day.
And gives me focus and trajectory for the day.
So... What I know, we've talked a little bit already about superpowers, and I love that you brought that up, because obviously that's a lot of what I talk about on the show and how I frame things. What superpower did you discover you had, only to realize it was there all the time?
I think it's the superpower of presence.
Presence, like
sense?
Being
presence.
Present.
Yeah, it's bigger than just being present. It's being in the in presence. When we presence ourselves, we're so, you know, we don't have, like, we're sitting in a meeting, but our mind is in fifth gear or overdrive. When we bring it back into presence, cell phones are off, every distraction is off, and I am being here with you. That quality of presence shifts everything in the dynamics of the world that we're creating. And as a leader, that is hugely important.
Okay. And what advice would you give your 25 or 30-year-old self?
Stop trying to be who you're not. Stop trying to fit into what you think you're supposed to fit into. really listen to who are you and what's the fullest desire, what's the expression of you that brings you into your fullest essential nature? What's the expression of that?
Okay. And do you identify as a feminist, Dr. Rosie?
Oh my goodness. I don't think I identify with any of those. I would say I'm a feminist in many, many ways, but I think that the feminists, if we're really, I have some neighbors who have their PhD in feminist studies. And when I watch them and they diss men and they do not pay attention and do not listen to everyone, then that's where I have a problem with the perspective or the identification with feminist is it doesn't, it usually is an exclusive perspective. And if it's exclusive, it doesn't expand and doesn't contribute to the well-being of every human being on the planet.
So the very definition of feminism actually is inclusive. And so I think it's just it's something that has happened with a certain segment of, you know, the population that is doing the dissing or the others, you know, it's us versus them kind of dialogue. And
I think that the pure essence of what we consider feminism, I would say, yes, I am. And in that place of inclusive, expansive, openness, and you know, that's what I'm all about.
Okay, and last question, what are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
My nightstand is basically the same as it's been for many years, which is Course in Miracles, Oneness by Rasha, R-A-S-H-A, and David Hawkins, who's written many books called on Power versus Force, Transcending Levels of Consciousness, and The Eye of the Eye.
And do you ever read fiction?
On occasion, I do, and I find fiction that really I enjoy. The challenge for me, Giovanna, is that I am more and more sensitive to violence,
yeah,
conflict, and so I tend to do less and less of that than I used to, just because though I can talk with people about their conflicts and stuff, it's not something I really want to bring in.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. Okay, gosh, Dr. Rosie, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You are so welcome, Giovanna. Thank you for having me.
That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your well woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join us. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you are listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @WellWomanLife. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.